this week. I have thoroughly enjoyed being here, and just I've had my soul fed. I was excited about hearing preaching, and man, I'm telling you, the Lord sent us some preaching. Amen. And appreciate the Word of God, opportunity to meet Brother Baldwin, and that was an honor in itself. And I'm thankful for men that will preach. Amen. And appreciate the Lord just being mindful of me and, again, speaking to my heart. Ain't one of us here perfect, that's for sure. And the fact that God would take time to burden a man's heart with a message and then have the Holy Ghost to show up and just speak to you personally, I say thank God for it. Amen. And it has been a joy this week. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm the same way. I truly, when I heard your pastor preach at Brother Philbeck's, I believe it was just a few months before we went to Brother Watson's, there was something in me that said, I like him. I like him. And I built him up pretty good to my pastor, so he's got some big shoes to step into when he meets the preacher. But anyways, I appreciate him. And then to come earlier this year, and just get a taste of what the Lord's allowed him to under-shepherd and to meet each one of you. I told him today, I don't know, this is probably one of my, truly probably in the top five, and I don't rank anybody, but just, you know, it's hard to tell between the top five, one of my favorite places to preach. And just so much liberty here, and I don't take that for granted, and you better not either in this day. I promise you that. Amen. But it has been a joy to be with you. Thank you, preacher, for asking us to come, and thank you, church, for being so gracious to us, and the motel room, the basket, the food through the week. I know what it costs to take my crowd out to eat, and it ain't cheap, amen. Not a family of six, it is not cheap. So I appreciate it, and we're very, very thankful and honored to be with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter number 1 tonight, James chapter number 1. And then we're going to flip over there to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 1 and James chapter number 4. I want to focus on a single word, but look at this text. It's hard for me to really not make something a series anymore. I don't know why that is. Hush. But it is hard for me. You cannot exhaust the Word of God. You cannot do it. And everything's connected to everything in the Bible, so it is easy to make a series. Amen. This is easy to make a series. But and I've got a series outline. If you want to take it, amen, you can take it and run with it. I know he will. And we'll just deal with the one thought for tonight. Amen. James chapter 1, you find your place to stand with reverence to reading the Word of God. I'll read quickly the very first the first 8 verses of James chapter 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Say amen right there. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the grace of God and the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to once again be in your house. Thank you for Safe Harbor Baptist Church. Thank you for this dear pastor and this dear people. I'm thankful for the opportunity that you've given us this week to minister unto them and share a bit of our life with them. I thank you, dear Lord, again for the opportunity to preach here tonight. I ask, Lord, for your touch, your anointing. I plead the blood upon my life. God, that you cleanse me from anything that would be displeasing in the sight of God. Would you purge me, purify me, and allow me to be a vessel tonight that is sanctified meet for the master's use, a vessel unto honor, not unto dishonor. I pray that you'd help us this evening to glorify your name. May you take the truths of thy word, instruct us, and Lord, in righteousness. I pray, Father, that you allow conviction to be real. May the truth be so plain. May we repent to the acknowledging of it. And I pray that your will would be accomplished here in this service. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. And for your name's sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. The book of James is probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. It is a book, if we could put a theme to the book, it would be the theme of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. James has a desire for the people of God, the saints of God, to take the next step. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. But there's more about being saved than just not going to hell. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to burn in the flames of hell tonight. I am again thankful for Calvary. But there is more to being saved than just being saved. James has a desire in this book for the saints of God to begin to mature. You say this word in a Baptist church and everybody flinches. Amen. Because and the truth of it is that pastors are trying their best to get a group of people to mature, to quit being babies, if you will. And I know this will be a little bit blunt in your face, but that's the way I preach, so it'll be all right. Amen. But that's the truth of it. We are living in a generation and in a world, in a physical world. We're living in a generation of millennials. We're living in that generation. And the reason why the name of that is because they refuse to grow up. Well, we've got the same thing, as much as the world has went down, the church has went down with it. And the church has adopted an idea that as long as we're saved, we're all right. And what we have is nothing more than a bunch of spiritual babies that are still desiring the milk and can't take the meat. And because of that, we ain't never going to do anything for God. The church cannot grow. We cannot function as a body because we are ill-developed spiritually. Amen. So he's desirous of the scattered saints of God to grow. He has a desire for them to reach perfection. Don't be scared of that word perfection. I said it Sunday night. Brother Baldwin said it last night. Let me tell you something. I don't care how long you've been saved. That doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. Some of the most spiritually immature people are those that have been saved a long time. And the reason why that is this. Being perfect. Perfect maturity, they go hand in hand. Everybody agree? We're going hand in hand. I may be teaching a little bit tonight. That'd be all right. But they go hand in hand. Spiritual maturity and perfection. Here's what that word perfection. Be ye perfect. You think God's going to make a demand on you if you can't fulfill that demand? God wants you to fulfill that. If you say, well, preacher, I'm flesh, I'm going to fall. Peter said, you add to your faith all those things. He gave a list, I quote to you. He said, if you add all these things, you should never fall. That's Bible. So quit making excuses. I don't like hearing the excuses that I hear from me. Amen. Amen. Just be honest, we make excuses for our shortcoming. But James says, hey, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be spiritually mature. What he's simply saying is this. I want you to grow and develop right on schedule.
Amen.
When God gives you light to walk in it. Yes, the moment you quit walking in that light, you just took a step backwards in your spiritual growth.
Tell it.
Amen. Every individual that shuns from truth, that thinks they are spiritually mature enough to pick and choose what they want to eat, what they don't want to eat, mark her down, that's a child right there. Are you listening? That's what children don't want to eat green beans. They don't want to eat this food and that food. They pick. They're a child. Amen. Beat it out of them. They'll get out of it. They'll go out. My mama used to starve us. We didn't eat the green beans on supper. It was sitting on the table for breakfast. Amen. At least that's what she threatened. We always ate. We never tested her. Amen. We always ate it. Are you listening to me? That's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Be perfect. That's simply walking in the light that God gives you to walk in. Amen. Now, this ain't supposed to be taking me this long, so y'all in for a rough one. Amen. I'm just picking. But just because you've been saved a long time doesn't mean you're mature. It does not mean that. The mature individuals I've met, they are walking in the light that God's given them. They may not be up to the level that I would assume that in my mind that I'm at as far as the truth that God's given me to walk in. They may not be there yet. Amen. Sure. Amen. But I ain't worried about that. Right. I'm worried about me tonight. Sure. I'm worried about me and my family. Are we walking in the light that God gives us to walk in? Are we spiritually growing?
Yeah.
Are you spiritually growing?
Good.
Are you closer to God right now than you was last year? Do you have a more developed walk with God right now than you did 5 years ago? Do you have more of a fervency for God than you did yesterday?
Amen.
Are you growing? Are you developing? He has a desire for the saints of God to develop. So here's how he's going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with just a little small point of this, all right? But here's what he does in the book of James. He begins to deal with their spiritual immaturity in chapter number 1 concerning trials and temptations. Chapter number 2, he deals with their testimony. Chapter number 3, he deals with their tongue. And like a part of chapter number 4, he deals with their temper. Chapter number 4, he also deals with their temper in the first part of chapter number 4. He deals with time in chapter number 5, I believe it is. Treasure in chapter number 5. Temperance throughout several different chapters. But the main thing that I find his spiritual maturity dealing with in the book of James is their spiritual immaturity concerning the subject of just truth. Handling truth. This is vital to your spiritual maturity. What are you going to do with truth? Now, as you begin to think about truth and the reaction of the individuals and examples here in the text and throughout the entire book of James, I was drawn to one individual that gets singled out twice. And it's the only time you'll ever see this individual mentioned in your Bible. We've read about him. The name is a double-minded man. If there is an example of what a spiritual, immature child of God is, it is this man. It is this individual. Now begin to think about the double-minded man and the very context of that word. I begin to think about the mind. Mind is vital in your service for God. Paul said, with mind, I myself serve the Lord. I serve Christ. With his mind, it is every facet of your life is governed by your mind and the way you think. The mind deals with conception. It deals with creativity, curiosity, your conscience, choices, confidence, confusion, compassion, contention, contentment, control, comprehension, conversation, communication, corruption, carnality, and Christianity. All of those being governed by your mind. And I could take each one of those and preach them, but we ain't got near the time for you to handle that. Carnality and Christianity. If we could sum it up in two headings, I believe those would be the right two headings. Carnality and Christianity. Now, you hear in the Bible, we've studied the Bible, we've read the Bible, we've heard in the Bible, we've studied the Bible concerning the difference between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded. Now let me ask you this, what determines an individual having a carnal mind and a spiritual mind? How can you determine whether an individual is spiritually minded or he is carnally minded? How do you determine that? Well, let me give you this. And I need to lay the foundation before I get anywhere. You need to understand this. You have a body. It's the only one you got. And in this body, you have two natures. Spiritually, physically, you have one body. Spiritually, you have two natures. You have, if you're born again, I'm preaching to saints here, and James, he's talking to saints, all right? You have a spiritual nature, and you have a carnal nature. And they are at war, one against the other. They hate one another. They'll never get along, amen. And you're going to have to fight that battle till Jesus comes. Now, you have two natures. You have one mind. I understand you're carnally minded and spiritually minded, but you only got one mind. What dictates whether he is spiritually minded or carnally minded? I'll tell you which one. The one nature who controls the thinking. Now, if a man is carnally minded, the reason why he is carnally minded is because his carnal, sinful nature has control of his mind. And the reason why you know he's carnally minded is because once that carnal nature has control of the mind, he has control of the body. The control unit of your body is your mind. And whichever nature controls your thinking controls your actions.
Amen.
I'm saying that simple, but I'm afraid we've missed that somewhere.
Right,
you allow your mind to be dictated by your carnal flesh, you won't be able to control the way you act.
Right.
You think all carnal, hey, you think all carnal things tonight, you think on carnal things tomorrow. You know what you're going to do tomorrow? You're going to act like a carnal man.
Amen.
Not a carnal Christian. There's
That's
no such
right.
thing.
Right.
But let me tell you what you do. You can put your mind on things of God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest and holy, on and on and on. Have your mind thinking on those things. Allow the spiritual nature that God's put inside of you to control your mind. And you won't be able to help it tomorrow, but you'll act like you have a walk with God.
Right, preacher. That's good.
Amen.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Amen. So you need to understand tonight you have one mind. They are doing their best. The carnal man and the spiritual man are warring on the battlefield of the mind. And whoever wins that battle has won the battle over your body. Now, understanding this, we are introduced to an individual who the Bible calls double-minded. The very term of this word means two-minded, two-spirited, double in opinion, double in purpose, uncertain and doubting, divided in interest. He has two minds. Well, that don't even seem possible. This individual is not normal. I'm afraid he's a little bit more common in this day, but he ain't normal. He ain't normal. Now listen to me. As I begin to think about this man, he has always confused me. He's intrigued me. At the same time, he has scared me to death. As I have done this study, I have found myself being a double-minded man on more than one occasion. This man, it should not exist. But it does. Now, as I begin to think about him. Now, if I was to ask you, and I told you to be a little bit more teaching. I'll get to preaching in a minute. Who is the double-minded man? Who is he? Most of us would answer what we only have in the text. As far as directly related, here's what we'd say. Well, he's unstable in all of his ways. Well, that's a result of being double-minded.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Yeah.
What is he doing that makes him a double-minded man?
Wow.
What's he done? We've used the expression many times, but do you have any idea? What's he doing that makes him a double-minded man?
Right.
To understand who he is, what makes him a double-minded man, we simply have to look at him. We have to examine him.
Right.
So I'm going to look at this man. I'm going to try my best to preach on this thought on defining a double-minded man.
Yeah.
He's different between a hypocrite.
Huh.
A hypocrite's a lost man.
Right.
A double-minded man's a saved one. A hypocrite is one pretending to be one thing that he is not. They pretend to be one thing when they are another.
Yeah, you're right.
A double-minded man is trying to be both.
What about that?
Something unusual, unnatural about him, but very real. Let's consider what we have in the verses concerning this double-minded man. The first thing I want you to notice is that word double. Double. Number one, a double-minded man is a divided man. I think the Lord's going to slow me down just a little bit. He is a divided man. Look in the text. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Apparently this individual, let me give you the context of what's going on. They are struggling with temptation. They have a carnal nature just like you do. They're tempted just like we are. They are struggling with handling temptation. He says, now, understanding you're struggling with temptation, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack the understanding, if you lack the knowledge and the strength to be able to handle that temptation, all you have to do is ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him.
Yes.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven wind and tossed. What he's saying is this. If you're struggling, if you're being tempted to sin, all you have to do is ask God, God, I need some help in this area. I need you to give me some truth. I need you to give me some light. I promise you, nobody, no child of God has ever asked God for light that God did not give it to him. Not a single one of them.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So here's what they're doing. They're asking God, Lord, please, please give me truth that I know how to walk. But as soon as God gives them that truth, Lord, I really want this. Whatever that may be. Lord, I know I need to do this. And this is how I get past my temptation. Lord, is there any way I can do this too? This may not always be a bad, wicked thing either. Lord, I'm torn. I really want this. But I really want to do this too. I'm split. I'm divided. I'm torn. I'm interested in this, but I'm interested in you. I'm willing to invest in this. This would be something that would be fulfilling in my life. It's something I've always wanted. Lord, I still want you too. I'm divided. I'm torn. He's asking for wisdom.
Right.
I really don't want to fall into sin. I really don't want to fall to the flesh. So he's asking for wisdom. But while he's asking it, he still is reaching here.
Right. Right.
He's leaning this way.
Yeah.
But deep inside of his soul, he's crying out for the right way.
Yes, sir. Listen now.
He is divided. He is torn between the world and the flesh and truth. The thought of this man being complete opposite, it almost seems like it's impossible, doesn't it? That a man who longs for truth would long to sin. But that's who we are. Doesn't seem like it would be able to work. It would seem like that mind would be on the brink of insanity, and truly every individual caught here will drive themselves crazy. To have a mind to work and then a mind to be slothful. To have a mind, there's just no way that should be able to exist. To have a mind to fight and a mind to flee. To have a mind to stand, a mind to surrender, a mind to truth, a mind to deceive, a mind to serve, a mind to be still. A mind that decides, a mind that dismisses. They're divided between opposites. They're torn by two things that do not go together. They cannot coexist. And he's torn. Elijah came unto the people in 1 Kings chapter number 18, and he told the people of God, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? The people of God, torn. Do we follow God? Do we follow Baal? Do we follow the prophets of God? Do we follow the prophets of Baal? They are halting between two opinions. Now, the word halt means to pause. Means to stop, consider. You know what else it means, preacher? It means to skip. Here's what the double-minded man does. Lord, I really want to serve you. But I really want this over here. And I think I'll prosper over here. I think I'll find some fulfillment over here. But I got over here and I found out it didn't fulfill. I found out there was trouble over here and I was in trouble with God. Amen. So you know what I did? I ran back over here. Yeah. Lord, I really want to serve you. Lord, I love you. You're everything to me. I love you so much. I want to worship you. I want to serve you. Man, I really want that. I want that bad. Oh, I think I'll just come back over here. I really think I can find some fulfillment here. I think I could still, I think I could live right here. I could stay right here. There'll be no problem here. I can live like this. I can do this. No. No. I'm empty over there. Lord, I think I'll just serve you. Lord, what are they thinking about me? I think I'll come back over here. I don't want nobody thinking bad of me. I don't want nobody making fun of me. Are you hearing me? Constantly jumping. Here's what they were doing. Here's what the people of God was doing. As long as they thought they was going to prosper by God, they was all for him. But the moment they thought they was going to die following God, they ran over here to Baal. Whatever made sense for them, whatever prospered them, whatever they could find fulfillment in, that's what they went to. And they were doing nothing but jumping between the two. Whatever served them better at that moment, that's what they wanted to do. And that's where most Christians, that's where you're at. Oh, I really want to serve God. There's no greater joy in serving Jesus. And there's no more peace than when you're right with God. Oh, but I really like this right here. I mean, look at the money. Look at what I can possess. Look at what I can have. Look at the friends. Look at the popularity. But I'm empty over here. I'm distraught over here. I'm burdened here. I'm condemned over here. I think I'll come back over here, enjoy the liberty that I have in Christ, and I'll serve God and live for the Lord. But man, I really want that. I tell you what, I think I'll take both. That's what you're trying to do tonight, ain't it?
Come on, preacher, you're on target. My goodness.
Oh, you want to serve God because you know this joy that's in serving Jesus, it ain't fake. It ain't being put on. You can't deny the change that happens with God when a man meets God. You can't deny that. No, you can't deny that. But you really want this over here. So what you've concocted in your mind is that you can sit right here in the middle and have God and everything you want. You're divided. You're split. You're interested in God. You've got a pretty good interest in the Lord and the things of God, but at the same time, you're heavily invested over here. Yeah, I give tithes. I give missions. I want to make sure my pastor's taken care of. But my little sin right here, I put all my life savings to have this. I'll dedicate my time and all my efforts to have this right here. But I'm not getting rid of God. No, no, no. I want to serve the Lord, but I want this too. He's divided.
Yes, sir.
He's split in interest, split in investment, split in opinions and in directions. Listen to me tonight. He's a divided man. He's a distracted man. Let me tell you what this man does. You know how I know? You look at one preacher who's been right here, to my shame. Wanting to serve God with everything. But I wanted this. And I thought, man, surely, I could make it with both. Do you know what I found myself doing? I found myself being one thing over here and being a whole other person over here.
Yeah.
I also found myself covering my tracks over there so everybody over here didn't know about it. And covering my tracks over here so everybody over here didn't know about it. And all I was doing was performing a juggle act. Can't let the preacher know. Can't let my mama know. But I can't let my friends know. Can't let my girlfriend know. I can't do that, but I can't do. And I spent my days juggling and covering my tracks, distracted and distraught, because I didn't know which one I wanted the most. They were going in opposite directions, and I'm trying to hold it together without it tearing me apart. Was a distracted man. He knows. Here's what he's doing. Here's what he's doing. I really want that. Really want this. Now, when it comes time for you to make a choice with anything in your life, anything, when you make a choice, when you make that choice, you have just made the best choice you possibly knew to make. For the most part, everyone. And everything you do, when you have to choose to do something, commit to something, you just made the best choice you knew you could possibly make. And when you made that choice, you were committed to it. When I bought my van, it was the best choice for me and my family. And when I made that choice knowing this was the best thing for us. And I was committed to that choice to the point I would go in debt and sign my name saying I would make the payments on that van.
Yeah, sure. Amen. Yeah.
I was committed to it.
Yep.
Now, we've all made choices that after we made them, the next day they may have been the worst decisions we've ever made. But you know what it was? It was a choice made. And it didn't matter how bad it was for you, you were already committed to that choice.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you following me?
Right.
What it was is this. You had to pay in the term of commitment to the choice that was right.
Yes, sir.
But if that choice was wrong, you had to suffer the consequences. But what a choice demands is commitment either way.
Amen.
The man, the double-minded man, stuck here in the middle, he's wanting both. And what he is doing is he is trying to choose both of them without committing to either one. Here's what he knows. Here's what you know tonight. You know if you make this choice to serve the flesh and the world, you know condemnation awaits. You know there's a price to pay for your sin. You know there's an emptiness. You know there's deception over here. You know what it's going. You know the consequences. You'll have to pay for your sin.
Amen.
You know that.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But over here, there's joy, there's peace, there's one hope, everything. But let me tell you what truth does. Truth comes with cost. Sin comes with a consequence. Truth comes with a cost. Buy the truth and sell it not. Somebody's got to buy it first. Somebody's got to commit one way or the other. Got to choose. What's it going to be? You're the most miserable person in the world. The man who wants to serve God and serve his flesh. He is the most miserable person in the world. Miserable than any drunkard. I believe it. You listen to me. I believe he's more miserable than a drunkard, a dope addict. He's more miserable than the wicked lost sinner. He is more miserable. God, the child of God. You listen to me. The child of God that is torn and split in opinion. He is miserable. Got to commit to one. Got to choose one. You can't have both. He's distracted. Let me give you the idea of, we're talking about spiritual maturity, right? We're talking about spiritual maturity. All right. Can I give you an example? Can I give you a live example?
Sure.
I'm going to say Alexis because she's asleep. But if I was to offer her tonight, if I was to offer her a bag of gummy bears and a bag of M&Ms, and I was to put that in front of her and say, all right, Alexis, choose which one you want. Do you know what she's going to do? She's going to want both of them.
Oh, yeah.
She's even going to ask for both of them.
Sure.
No, Alexis, you can only have one. You know what she's going to do then? But Daddy,
yeah.
I expect that out of my 3-year-old. Three or 4-year-old. Can't remember. But I expect that out of him.
Right.
I don't expect that out of an individual who's supposed to be saved 10 years.
Amen.
I don't expect that out of an individual that's been saved 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about spiritual maturity.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about having the ability to make a choice.
Yeah.
One way or the other. But you've got to choose. He is a divided man. He is a distracted man. He is a doubting man. Here's what he's doing. Right here, torn in the middle. God help us tonight. He's split. He's wanting both. Now, the question remains in this man's mind. Could it be possible? Could I be the one to have both? Could I be the one to get exactly what I wanted? No. No, you're not. Those two things will never coexist. Never goes together. But the reason, I want to look at this. I want to look at the reason why he's here. Thinking that it could be a possibility. The reason why he's right here, the reason why you're right here, and you can't make a commitment for God, and you haven't yet made a commitment to the world, the reason why you're right here is because you don't know if either one of them can satisfy you. You've heard there's joy in serving Jesus. But you've also heard there's pleasure in sin. And there is. Maybe for a season, but there's pleasure in sin. I ain't lying to you. There's pleasure in sin. You know it. You know it. What you're struggling with tonight is, will I be satisfied there? Or satisfied here? And the reason why you can't make up your mind is because you don't know if either one of them can do it. Struggle, ain't it? Oh, it'll tear you apart. I really do want to serve God. But I really want this. I really want this. Got to choose. What's it going to be? I was a, feel led the Lord to tell you a little bit about me. I was 17 years old, 18 years old. Graduated out of high school, into college, with a girlfriend, pursuing a business career. I was called to preach. I was not right with God. Got hooked on country music. Got introduced to it by a friend. I was not right with God. Had a girlfriend, was not right with God. God spared me from a bunch of mess. But now, that's all I'll tell you. But I'm here to tell you I wasn't right with the Lord. And God had to tear me down to the point I was so miserable. So torn, so divided. I had to make a choice. And here's what I had to do. I called up in my daddy's barn sometime around 2 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold outside. It was icy. Caught up in between some hay bales, began to call out and cry out to God. I didn't even know if he'd even hear me cry. About an hour into calling out on God, the Holy Ghost of God stepped by and said, boy, if you want to serve me, I'll take you.
Amen. Yeah.
And I said, Lord, here it is. Yeah. Everything that I am, I'm making a choice tonight.
Amen.
I am done with this. I am sick of where I've been.
Yes,
I am tired of playing this game.
Amen.
And I'm choosing you. I'm choosing what I know is right. I'm choosing what I've seen in my pastor. I'm choosing what I've seen in a godly mom and daddy. I'm choosing what I've seen in men of God in days gone by. I'm choosing you. Everything that I have is going to be yours. If you want to use me, but I'm yours to use. Can I tell you tonight, I've never regretted that night of making that choice. I've never been sorry choosing Jesus. Never been sorry. Never, never, never been sorry. Giving it all to him.
Yes, sir.
Never been sorry. But I know a whole lot of people tonight that are sorry they made this one. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you this. You can trust him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can trust the Lord. He's going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. There is joy in serving Jesus. There's peace with God over here. There's a purpose God will give you in serving the Lord. There's a reason to live over here. Over there, there's condemnation. Over there, there's destruction. Over here is emptiness and unfulfillment. I'm glad I found everything I wanted in Jesus. You can trust Him tonight. You can trust Him. He is a man who is doubting. Here's what it's resulted in this. James chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is. Here's what he's wanting to do. I don't want to commit. And he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. No, you're not. But friendliness with the world's enmity with God. You say, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I don't want to marry her. I don't want to marry the world. I just want to be friends with her. That's all they wanted to be in James chapter 4.
That's right.
Just want to be a friend. That's all you want. But you can't be a friend over here and be a friend of God's.
Amen.
You can't be a friend of the world. If you're a friend of the world, enmity with God.
Yep.
You are an enemy of God. You understand what that term means? Wow. You're against everything God is for.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and say this. Most people on Facebook, every time they hit friend, 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 they're saying enemy, enemy, enemy of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You're right. Preach on.
Amen. He's a doubting man. Either it's right or it's wrong. It works or it doesn't. It satisfies or it doesn't. You got to choose. He's a deceived man. He actually thinks this could be a possibility. The serpent did his best to tell Eve that there was no consequence to sin. When the serpent was talking about the fruit, he didn't say anything about dying. He said, you'll be as gods. You know what he's telling her? You can have both. You can have everything you wanted, you can have everything God wanted all at the same time. You know what she found out? He lied. Don't be a deceived individual. You can't serve God and mammon.
Amen. Right. Yes.
You're not going to serve God and serve the almighty dollar.
Right. Right.
You're not going to serve God and serve your flesh.
Right.
They're exact opposites.
Yes,
they don't work together.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes, right.
You cannot love God and love the world.
Right.
Love is a choice.
Yep.
Love is a commitment. If you've loved the world, you're committed to her.
Right.
Not to God.
Yes,
don't tell me you love God and you're flirting around with Hollywood, flirting around on the internet.
Come on.
Yeah, preacher. Can I just tell you, and y'all, some of y'all already know, you've heard me preach, but I hate social media.
Amen.
It's a store to families. It's absolutely a store to families.
You're right. You're right.
Can I tell you something, church? I'm just gonna be honest with you. What, we've got a group of people up here in Kentucky, run around 300 people. We've lost over 25 young men through that avenue of social media.
Wow.
Now God salvaged some of them here lately. I'm thankful that He can.
Amen.
But if they just stayed off that junk like we told them to in the beginning, they wouldn't have to worry about the scars they're suffering right now.
Amen.
That's just an extra little notation right there.
You preach on the cloud. You're right.
Let me tell you something. You're not going to mess around with the things of this world and then come in here and tell me that you love God And God not jerk the covers off of you sooner or later. You're not going to say that you love, you're saved, born again, and love Jesus. What you're saying is, I'm committed to Him and sleeping around with the world. Can I use it that term? Be a friend to her. That's what it started with Joseph. Potiphar's wife just wanted to hang around, just be near him. Just be a friend. Want to come lay with him in the bed. Sleep with her. Then come lay beside her.
Right.
World knows how to get your number.
Right.
You can't play both of them.
Right, man.
He is a deceived man. You're a deceived individual if you think you can do both.
Right.
And God not judge you.
Yes.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what they're doing. James chapter 1. I'm going to go back here and reiterate. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I need some wisdom. But let him ask in faith.
Yeah, right.
Nothing wavering.
Right.
In other words, if you need wisdom to get past temptation, you need wisdom to get past your sin, when you ask God, it better be an asking of commitment. God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm letting you know I'm willing to do it. You know why we come to churches and have people fail in the altar and they call out to God, God, please give us something tonight, change our lives, do a work, turn a work in our lives, give us truth. We need light to walk in. God, help us. God, help. And on and on and on. And yet, people leave out the back doors unchanged. You know why that was? Because you come down here and you said a prayer, God, please give me some truth. God, please give us light. We need some preaching tonight. And you had no intention of living by what was said from the moment you said it. You know what you are? You're a double-minded man.
Yep. You're right.
Deceived. Driven. Here's what happens. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Here's what happens to that man out here on the ocean of split decision. The wind starts blowing. And the waves start crashing. The current starts pulling. And that man out here in the middle of this ocean, choosing which way he wants to go, the world is going to pull with everything he's got. And I promise you, I will do my best to be on the other end, pulling with everything I got. Amen. If the world's going to advertise and tell you this is the right choice, you better believe I'll do everything in my power to let you know serving God's been worth it, worth every mile, every storm, every trial. It's been worth every dark night. I've never been dissatisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my best to pull. The world's going to do their best to pull. And you know what the divided man, this double-minded man, he's going to be torn. Split in two. Becomes driven. Driven hard. I'm going to skip through here. Let me tell you something. He's going to be driven. Let me give you this. You're going to have to choose. The world's going to say, choose us. That's what they did in Proverbs 1. That son, come with us. Let us all have one purse. Come with us. Let us live privately for the innocent blood. Come with us. Come with us. Let us. That's what they said. The preacher's preaching. Serve Jesus. The saints of God are singing. Serve the Lord. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Inside you're grieved and torn and driven. That driven man, can I give you an example? Orpah. She was torn between her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Moab. You know what? She was so torn, she couldn't choose. So you know what happened? Somebody chose for her.
Yes, sir.
Just stay right there as long as you can. You're either going to make the choice or somebody's going to make it for you.
Right.
But you're going to make a choice.
Amen.
The greater the demand for the commitment, the greater the demand for the and the cry for you to choose. Closer to God, the Spirit of God will cry. Choose us, the flesh will cry. That man being torn between the two will become a defiant man.
You're right.
He will become one of the most dangerous individuals you could ever be around. James chapter number 4, as we're introduced to this chapter, he said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Apparently, there is an individual here who has lost the ability to control his temper. He is at war with the people of God. James chapter number 3, he's dealing with the tongue. I did not mean to be this long. I'm giving you my heart. I believe God's wanting me to give you my heart tonight.
You're helping us.
James chapter number 3, he's talking about the tongue. You know, he talked about that tongue. He said it's an unruly member. Remember that. He said it's an unruly member. Get over there to the end when he's talking about can a fountain yield both sweet water? Can it yield bitter water? No, we understand that's not possible. The same fountain can't do it. All of a sudden, I believe verse number 16. I ain't got time to run the reference. I believe it's verse number 16. All of a sudden he goes, hey, if... Any of you be wise? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. Did you catch that word, wise? You know what they're asking for in James 1? Asking for wisdom. James is trying to make an illustration out of the blue kind of illustration. Here's what he's doing. He's talking about that tongue, running people down, and all this stuff said about the tongue. And all of a sudden he goes, all right, that man with wisdom back there, stand him up. The man who's asked of God, give me wisdom so I can grow. Give me wisdom to walk in. Give me the light. And when God gave it to him, he walked in it like he said he would. He said, I want you to point that man out. Point him out. Let him show the blessings of God from him doing just what's right. Let him show that I still honor my word. Let him show that it's still worth it serving Jesus. Let him show it with meekness. Let him show it. Then the very next verse, he goes, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. I'm paraphrasing as close as I can. I have not looked at that text. Let me tell you something. Here's what he said. He stood him up. He identified that individual who made the right choice to serve God. And all of a sudden, it's like he turned around the rest of the crowd. He said, now you see how you feel about that inside of your heart? If I was to stand up somebody here tonight that was walking in truth, and I don't know y'all very, 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 very well, not enough to do this anyways. But if I was to stand up an individual and say, right there, that's a man that served God. That right there is a man who's made the commitment to serve God no matter what. Look how God has blessed him. Look how God has honored him. And that little inside that says, he's serving God. That's what the blessing of God is about. Ain't nothing I'm interested in. Let me tell you what I can do. I can take you to Paducah, Kentucky, and show you a man who's a multimillionaire. He's got a house most of us will only dream of. You know what the man did? The man made the right choices to serve God. Lived in truth and God honored him. You know what else I can do? I can take you to the hillside of Sinking Creek Hill outside of Irvington, Kentucky. And I can take you to a little house that ain't much. Inside's a man who's been preaching for nearly 30 years. He ain't got a whole lot. Lives day to day. If I was to stand up that man and say, right there's the example of you serving God, you know what every young person, every family would do? That's what I want. Yeah, give me Jesus now. But if I was to stand up, Brother Wales, and say, that right there comes from serving the Lord and choosing Him, you'd say, nah, that ain't what I want. That's not what I want. I'm not interested in that. See, you want what he's got. Don't want what he's got. But you don't understand that both of them made the same choice.
Yes, sir.
And both of them made the same choice. And it didn't matter what lot in life they had. They made the same choice before they was wealthy and before they was poor.
Amen.
They just chose God no matter what.
Amen.
You know what? You know what they have that you don't? Joy,
yeah.
Peace,
yeah.
Love for God,
yeah.
Fulfillment, satisfaction, prayers are being answered.
Amen.
That's what they have.
Yeah.
You want it? You want what he's got? You can't have it with what without what they both got.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a point. This man becomes a defined man. He is envious of every individual who is blessed with a spiritual walk with God and are reaping the benefits from being spiritually mature. That man, this double-minded man, despises them. That's why he says, this wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work, you know what confusion means? Unstable. Double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. He's unstable.
Right.
The word there, unstable, confusion, unstable in all his ways. Go back to James chapter 3 and that unruly member, that tongue. What it means is it's unrestrainable. It's the same word as unstable.
Wow.
They're connected. You find a man who becomes unstable, double-minded, you'll find a man who's unruly.
Right.
You cannot control him.
Amen. Wow.
He'll fight against everybody and everyone.
Yep.
Let me tell you about, and that includes the world.
Yep.
He won't get along with his boss. He won't get along with his employees.
Yep.
Can't get along with his pastor. Can't get along with his church. Can't get along with his family. He is torn apart and defiant to everyone he's around.
Right.
Full of envy, full of bitterness, full of strife.
Right.
Yeah. Ever seen a child of God go crazy like that? I have seen it.
Yeah.
Becomes extremely dangerous. He becomes a desolate man. God said, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. What he wants is this. What you want is this. You are wanting to reap carnal benefits from spiritual methods and spiritual blessings.
Right.
This is the end result. I'm trying to hurry. What they're wanting, preacher. I want God to bless me because I'm doing this. I want God to bless me right here. I want God to give me what I want right here because I'm willing to do this. He's holding on to both. Holding on to both. I want both of them. You cannot. God said, that man, I ain't going to give him anything. I ain't going to bless him with nothing. Preacher Rain said it's the one man that God cannot bless in any way. He'll become a desolate man. I don't see it like that. I don't think God meant it like that. Become blind to truth.
Yep.
Become deaf to truth.
Right.
Can't receive anything from God.
Right.
He said, I'm hurrying, preacher. I'm hurrying. James chapter number 4, here's what he said. He said, you want it so bad, you'd go fight for it. You'd kill for it. That's how bad you want it. But you can't have it. The reason why you can't have it is because you ain't asked for it. But then they say, hang on a minute, James, number 1. We are asking. He said, I know you're asking, but you ask amiss. In other words, that word means miserably wrong. You ask so miserably wrong, this is how you do it. because you're asking to consume it on your own lust. You're wanting carnal benefits and carnal blessings from the spiritual blessings of God, from just doing right. Won't work. He's a dysfunctional man. He's unstable in all his ways. I've got to hurry. There's an ongoing struggle with commitment in every individual, it seems like, in the day and age in which we live. He's typed to the man who wants the benefits of a paycheck without working a job. The benefits of being married without tying the knot. The benefits of being part of the church without having to attend it. The benefits of having a home without the responsibility of building it. The benefits of being a Christian without having to live godly. He's a deciding man. He's either going to draw near in faith or he'll depart in unbelief. I'm going to give you one example and I'm done. I've got too much preaching to do here. I've got to give you an example and I'm done. Book of Revelation, Church of Laodicea. So I got something against you. You're not hot. And you're not cold. But you are lukewarm. Sitting right here in the middle. I'll be honest with you, preacher. If I was to ask you, would you rather have members that were flat out cold or members that were lukewarm? Carnally, I'd say give me the lukewarm. Because at least there's some heat there. And maybe I can fan the flame and then get on fire. At least this crowd right here in the middle is going to do something. If I was the pastor, I'd be going, I'll take the lukewarm. You know what God said? I would that you was either hot or cold. Cause you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. This game you're playing, God said it's making him sick. He's done playing the game. God's telling the church of Laodicea, make up your mind. Choose one way or the other. You've got to choose. I'm done with. How about it tonight? How about it? Have you found yourself tonight playing the role of a double-minded man? Holding on with everything you've got to something you so desperately want. And at the same time, you really want to serve God. You're split and you're torn and you're scared of committing to either one. Can I pull on the anchor? Can I make the wind blow one more time and tell you I've never been sorry I chose him? I watched God after that night I called out of that barn. I watched God put my life together. I started preaching. One place I ever dreamed I'd be preaching. If you'd have told me then I'd be here tonight, I'd have left. It wasn't a couple months later. God crossed me. I'd have never dreamed I'd have married that girl. God did that. If you'd have knew where I was headed, God did that. I'm here to tell you, God will satisfy every longing in your heart tonight.
Amen.
But this, the kind of benefit and reward that I'm experiencing tonight, that happens when you make a choice.
Right.
And you got to choose. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege it is to be saved. Thank you for the Word of God, the liberty yet again to preach. God, I know it's been long. I pray that you take the Word of God and the things that were said to smite our hearts, to wake us up, and bring us to a place of decision. May the Word of God truly pierce our hearts, change our lives, and may you complete the eternal work you've begun, Lord, this week. May in this invitation you be honored and glorified. May we respond to your beckoning call. May we repent to the knowledge of the truth tonight. God, meet our needs. Have everyone away in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.